This is the Sun Radio Regional Report. I'm Kevin Connor. We touch on topics of interest and importance to people here in Central Texas. And we talk to people who are doing good things in the community, like Christine Albert and Swan Song's musical Last Wishes. Christine and I have known each other for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Almost since I moved here.
Yeah.
40 years ago.
Yeah, because I moved here in 82.
Yeah. I think it was at Steamboat, actually.
Mm-hmm, probably so. Steamboat was the hang.
That was the big hang. Yeah. And it's wonderful to see you here. And you just live down the street, which is convenient.
Yeah, this is super convenient now. You're in the hood.
And in addition to Christine's musical career, she's also heavily involved with NARIS, the people who put on the Grammys. In fact, as the president of NARIS, you were the person, the first person to congratulate people when they walked off the stage, right?
Yeah, when I was chair, I've been on the board for a long time right now. I'm an officer chair emeritus, but I was chair of the board, and that one of my favorite roles was during the afternoon, the premiere ceremony. I would stand backstage, and when somebody won their Grammy, they would come, and I was the first person to congratulate them and take a picture with them, and it was, you could just feel the excitement.
Oh,
it was pretty cool.
People just won their Grammy.
Yeah, and the afternoon one is my favorite because it's all the categories that I'm connected with and, mm-hmm. you know, engaged with. And it's a lot of the more independent music. And so you can feel really significantly what the Grammy means to them.
Yeah.
And they're my peers and been working a long time. And mm-hmm. so it's quite an accomplishment.
And Christine is also the founder of Swan Songs. And for people who may not know, tell them what Swan Songs is all about.
Swan Songs is a nonprofit here in Austin that fulfills musical last wishes. So if there's a music lover, music fan, individual who's nearing the end of their life, they can request whatever style of music or local musician has been meaningful for them. And we bring professional musicians to play that music. Quite often it's a genre of music.
Right.
It evolved that way. But the first concept, the seed of the idea, which came from me being asked to do that for a fan here in town years ago, I was picturing specific artists, and that does happen quite a bit. We've had, you know, Ray Benson and, you know, the Flatlanders and Eliza Gilkison and Ruthie Foster, all kinds of people have been requested. But then it evolved way beyond that, which has really opened it up to more opportunity for everyone. Just genres and big band music and mariachi mm-hmm. and polka and blues and jazz and Lithuanian accordion. It's been really interesting to see how diverse. Right now we have one request for calypso that just came in. So there's always things that I never would have anticipated. And then we have the fun challenge of, okay, who would play that? Or who should we ask?
Right.
If we don't know, who do we go ask?
Yeah.
So we do that a lot.
Well, that's really great. And you said that it started because somebody asked you to do it for a family member of theirs.
Yes. It was a couple who, Denise and John Swan, and John and Denise used to come hear me at Waterloo Ice House every month and other places, but they became friends. You know, a lot of times here in town, our fans become our friends for sure. And John developed a brain aneurysm. He was 40.
Oh,
and
my.
Denise, it was inoperable at this one point. And so he was declining at home. And she said, "We can't come hear you anymore. Would you come play for us at our house?" So Mitch Watkins and Paul Glass and I went and played. And they invited friends from work and family members and his good buddies who had been uncomfortable going by to see him because he could no longer speak or mm-hmm. walk. And so it gave everybody a chance to sit around and share something. And the music meant so much to him. And it was really an aha moment. And I thought, this should happen more often. How can we get Austin musicians going directly to the people who are leaving this world? Mm-hmm. We all played a lot of benefits to support organizations that support them.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Gay Logan, who's a psychotherapist, and I talked about it and said we should get musicians directly to the patients. And we did it for a while, informally, starting in the 90s. And then it was finally 2005, I went and filed paperwork and created a nonprofit.
We're talking with Christine Albert about Swan Songs, and I didn't know that there was actually a person named Swan.
I know.
Connection. I always just thought a swan song is like the big final song in a ballet or something,
there's a myth that there's a certain type of swan, they don't make a sound their whole life until they're dying, and then they have this beautiful sound that they make.
Oh, wow.
But honestly, at first, when Gay and I started it, we were calling it Music Aid, which never felt right to me. It was like kind of harsh, you know, but the whole vision of the organization wasn't quite clear yet. And over the years, I kept feeling drawn back to it. And one thing that was important to me is I really wanted the musicians to be compensated. I didn't want it to be calling my friends, asking for them to donate their time. I knew that the value of the program, the core of the mission, was the music, and I wanted professional musicians, so we should pay them.
Exactly.
So I kept thinking, but I don't want the family to pay, and I don't have the money to pay people. So I finally start a nonprofit. That's what a nonprofit does. It's a community service, and you raise the money within the community. So I was walking one day and thought, what would a name be? It was actually right in this neighborhood. What would a name be? And I thought of the name Swan Songs from that image of a swan, and swan represents transformation. And I got goosebumps, and I went, that's it. And the whole thing, I could just see it. And it wasn't until later that I connected the dots and went, oh, John and Denise Swan.
Yeah.
And their last name has two N's. So I was like, should I have it be two N's? And then I went, no.
Keep it simple.
And then sadly, at the very beginning of the pandemic, Denise died. She had asthma, and she developed a weird illness, and her test came back negative, but she was in the hospital, went through all of the exact things that then became, you know, obviously coronavirus, and she died in the hospital on a ventilator, and I got to sing for her over the phone. So it was really, you know, full circle. I was like, Denise Swan cannot leave this earth without a Swan Songs concert, without music. And someone at the hospital facilitated that virtually.
Talking with Christine Albert about Swan Songs, and their website is beautiful, swansongs.org. We're going to talk about a special thing that they have going on right now. But you're singing songs, and other professional musicians singing songs for people at the end of their life. And when you could go to a hospital and visit people, or perhaps their home, and then now we have COVID.
Yeah.
And it changes everything.
Yeah.
Changes your access to those people that want to hear songs. It must have really made it exponentially harder to do what you offer.
Yeah, it was like overnight, of course,
like
everything else. But we just went, whoa, because we sing for very vulnerable populations and care facilities and homes and hospitals. So we immediately had to shut down all these concerts that were on the books. And then we switched to virtual. We were kind of in shock for about a week. And then we went, well, okay, how can we give the music to them? And everybody at that time was trying to figure out, how do I, you know, stream music? How do I record? What's the technology? Including my husband, Chris Gage, and I. We were like, how are we going to keep playing? And so Chris really got on it early on and figured out a lot of the technology and the software that we needed and how to use the cameras, you know, your iPhones for cameras. So as we were asking musicians to do virtual concerts, Chris was sort of coaching them on here's the software. Go get a switcher. Go get switcher, you know. Go get an iRig before they run out, and then they would start selling out.
Because things did sell out.
Yeah, and he gave them guidelines, and they would send a test concert, and he would, you know, a couple songs, and he would say, get away from the window, raise the laptop so we can hear your voice more. So we started doing pre-recorded virtual concerts, so someone could still request, and that musician would play that type of music and speak to them by name, you know, say, hey, Joe, I hear you love Hank Williams music. And then we also started doing some Zoom. So however we needed to do it, that's what we've been doing.
It could be live.
And now we do outdoors a lot. A couple weeks ago, we had Joe Morales playing outside a window of Ernesto Perez, who is a Tejano performer, in his last days. And Joe sang and played sax for him outside his window. And so we've done quite a few outdoor concerts, too.
So a family or a spouse that hears about this, and again, you said it's a free service. So they just go to the swansongs.org and apply?
Yeah, there's a very easy to see make a request.
Right.
And there's make a request as family and friends or make a request as a professional contact. And that's people like hospice chaplains and social workers and care facility activity directors.
That already know about you.
Yeah, that repeatedly request concerts. Yeah. So they have a profile. It goes directly into our database. So they log in and request a concert, and they might have three or four requests in the works at one time. And so they have a little bit different portal. But family and friends can just, anybody can go in and you just, you know, submit the information about the recipient and what style of music, you know, what genre, what covers, what instruments.
Have you ever got a request where you say, I'm sorry, we don't know anybody that plays death metal or anything
that? Well, honestly, heavy metal was one of the ones. The only time that a lot of times a concert gets canceled because the recipient passes away. We book it for 4 days later and they die overnight. Or they just decline and the family says, we're not up for it now.
Right.
But very rarely is it because we weren't able to make it happen. The only time I remember is for heavy metal. and we were like, I don't know. So I called Michael Penick at the airport, who books all the music at the airport. And he's a good friend, and he just knows so many musicians.
Right.
So he's a good resource. And he gave us a bunch of names. And we started calling, but we couldn't get anybody to call us back. So it took, by the time we were finally making a connection with someone, the recipient passed away.
Yeah.
But what we do is if we don't make it there in time, we always say, but obviously this music would have been meaningful. If you would like that music at the memorial, Swan Songs will underwrite, will pay the musician to come play at the memorial because the music obviously is going to be reflective of that person. And they wanted that, so they did a memorial with heavy metal music a month or two later, and so it was very meaningful. And we felt, okay, we at least got something.
Again, we're talking with Christine Albert about Swan Songs. They do songs for people who are at the end of their life. And, you know, somebody kind of skeptical maybe might say, well, what's the big deal?
Yeah.
Why have these songs at the end of somebody's life? But music is part of life.
Yeah, and to me, what I see is that it connects someone with a time in their life when they weren't struggling, when they weren't failing and declining, and when their life was full. Mm-hmm. And it speaks to, and everybody in the room, like if there's family members and friends, everybody has so much emotion. And it's at this point where really there are no words anymore. You don't know how to articulate. But the music just triggers emotions that makes everybody just, you hear a favorite song that you grew up with and you hold hands, or it creates, everyone gets to tap into the essence of that person's life rather than any of the details or the, you know, what do I need to say? You're sharing a moment, and that speaks volumes.
Just made me think that when my dad had a stroke and he was in a coma for about a week, we should have been playing music. We didn't.
Yeah.
We didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I should have thought of it. It's my
job. I know. It's interesting. When my dad died, my mom said she played my French music. Mm-hmm. She played Tex of France because that's her native language.
Right.
And there are all these love songs, and I go back and forth from French to English.
Right.
So she said the music was saying everything she wanted to say to him. They could just listen to the music, and he knew that that was me speaking for her. But when she died, when my mom died, we were all of us kids were there with her for several days. And I didn't put music on until like finally the last day. I went, oh, I'll put some classical music on, but I couldn't sing for her.
Right.
I just didn't, I was in a different place.
Yeah.
And I also, honestly, I think I felt a little bit like, well, that's my life over here. I don't want to project that onto my family. You know, oh, here comes the Swan Songs lady. When I put some classical music on, it was calming, although sometimes classical music is calming, and then all of a sudden it's a march, it's transition, you're like, get that thing.
They get to the big dramatic heavy parts. Yeah, turn that down. Well, Christine, and you've done songs on your own albums about the process of dying and crossing over and things like that. So you've been around it more than most people.
Yeah, I don't know why, I don't know how that how I was sort of drawn to that work, although I do remember when my aunt died pretty young in 1984, and she had hospice in New York City, and it was the first time I'd heard the word, and I just like, and it was so helpful for my mom who was caring for her, and so I ended up reading all of the books by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, and it made so much sense to me, almost like a midwife for dying. It was very conscious, it was very, you know, let's talk about this, or let's bring care, overall care, not just pain management. And I was drawn to it. And then that experience with John and Denise, and something just resonated with me. And it was kind of a combination of being present for death and music, those two things that I was drawn to that have converged. And that album, Everything's Beautiful Now, you know, it was at a period when we were losing, so we lost so many people. There were like, you know, at the time I was recording it, I dedicated it to 9 people. And by the time it was released, we had lost, you know, 5 more. It was just a strange time. And so I was processing it. And so it's a lot of songs about that.
Talking with Christine Albert, just what you just said there reminded me of a magical night at the Paramount Theater where Jimmy LaFave pretty much did his own swan song.
Yeah.
You know?
It was.
You and a bunch of his friends organized a big show and everybody doing his music.
Yes.
And this is about 4 years ago?
2017.
Okay, almost 4.5 years ago now. And Jimmy had been fighting cancer for a long time. He was there. I saw him off to the side stage. He was in a wheelchair. And he was in a position where he could watch everybody.
Yeah.
And then I went back out into the audience. I don't know how they got him up the stairs.
I know.
Well, in a wheelchair.
It's funny because it was Jimmy's swan songs concert. Right. And because he planned every bit of it. We executed it. But I would go over to his house and we would talk about artists. And he would tell me who he wanted and what song he was hoping they would sing. And then I would bring an idea to him. You know, I remember going to him and say, Kevin Russell called and asked and if you would want. And he goes, oh, my God, yes, Kevin. And so it was we talked about the sunflowers on the stage and, you know, he orchestrated the whole thing, but he was very ill at the time. So I would take notes. And one of the things we had like a run of show planned. Right. And one of the things was, and then when you start singing, I'll Fly Away, I'll come up and join you. And that was like 3 weeks before.
Right.
And by the time we got to that night, and we weren't even sure that afternoon if he was going to make it.
Right.
Like, make it to the show or make it, stay alive. It was that close. And we were all like, should we do this? We remember a couple days before, Eliza and I were talking and saying, is this irresponsible to even be planning this? Is this holding him to this earth in a way that's unhealthy, like attachment? You know, are we adding stress in his life? But he was. He kept saying, you know, and Ashley would go to him, do you want to do that? Yes, I want. It has to happen. So, but when we got to that song, it didn't even occur to me to say, Jimmy, come on up and join us. There was no way he was going to be up there.
Right.
And all of a sudden we get halfway through. He comes up and he goes, I've been trying to get up here for.
Well, I don't know how he did it because he was in a wheelchair and there's a very short flight of steps on the back of the side of the stage at the Paramount. So obviously somebody.
His caregivers,
got him up there. And then he's out with you and I will never. Oh, I'm getting goosebumps.
I know.
He turns to you and says, give me the guitar.
I know. Because we were trying to find the key to Goodnight Irene. And Chris said, I think it's D, you know, and somebody else started saying something else. And then Jimmy goes, we're like, you know, it was sort of
give
like
me
that,
the guitar.
You know,
I'll lead the band.
Me. And so he finally goes, give me the guitar. I'll find the key. And it was the key that Chris had suggested at the beginning. And it blew me away. I mean, and then I realized we were feeling like we were giving him this gift of singing for him and serenading him as his swan song. And then I realized what he needed it as much as we needed to sing to him, but he needed to come and speak to that audience and to say goodbye to all of us. And it was like, he wanted to express, you know, he expressed his gratitude, his love, and he had said everything. And then I just leaned over just to let him know. I said, Jackson's behind you, his son. Mm-hmm. Just so he would know who was around him, because he wasn't all of that cognizant of it. And then he grabbed the mic again. Give me the mic. And expressed his love for Jackson and asked us all to care for him and welcome him into the community. It was just so, so honest and vulnerable and, like his music, his voice.
And for a troubadour like Jimmy LaFave, what a way to go.
I know.
You know?
That was his whole life.
It's like calling your shot.
Yeah.
And say, all right, I'm going to do this. Yeah. And then 4 days later, I think it was, he passed away.
Yeah. That was on Thursday, and he passed away Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was, and he was also the kind of musician who really created community around himself. Mm-hmm. He loved other musicians and supporting them and putting on big shows with lots of people. So he wasn't very solitary in that way. So it was a perfect last thing for him to do. It was like his wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. This is what I do. And that's what he said to me. He said, this is what I do, and I'm going to do it as long as I can.
I'm sure he did a lot of swan songs performances for you.
He did a few of them, and one of them was, he told me how ill he was a year before he died, in May of the year before. And right after that, I got a swan songs request. And I was like, for Jimmy. And I was like, oh. And I called him and I said, you don't have to do this. This is might be really hard for you. It's a big fan and she's dying of cancer. Mm-hmm. And she and her friends are all love your music. And he goes, no, I want to do it. I want to do it. But I'm going to MD Anderson on Wednesday and then I'll be back. And then I have to go to Oklahoma and play. So it might be 10 days or so. Mm-hmm. But he did it. And we went to her house, and his nephew Jesse played guitar, and I was there, and it was pretty profound for us because we knew that they had no idea, and he was singing to her for her swan songs, and we had no idea. We didn't know. Mm-hmm. We knew how serious it was. We didn't know how long. We still had tons of hope at that point. It was like, oh, this. I'm sure that this is going to work. They're going to figure something out.
We're talking with Christine Albert about the importance of music at the end of a person's life, especially people who love music.
Yeah.
And Swan Songs is the organization. Swansongs.org is the website. So you can request a swan song for a loved one or make a donation in mm-hmm. the name of a loved one. And I know that you, for years, you've had a very big fundraising night, a gala mm-hmm. at the Four Seasons Hotel, best place in town to do that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But again, because of COVID, we weren't able to do it last year.
Yeah, we did a virtual event last year. Right. We were lucky that Robert Earl Keen was booked. And he really early on in the pandemic set up an amazing sound stage and started filming his own mm-hmm. virtual performances and concerts in really a high quality way. And he put all of his heart and soul into it. They even made the stage match the colors of the Serenade that year. And they had the Swan Songs logo, projected behind the stage.
Wow.
And the band members, Kim Warner, spoke about his experience with Swan Songs. It was really beautiful. Oh, sorry, my watch is... I don't know how to turn the ringer off on my watch.
I couldn't hear it. So don't worry about it. Are you like Dick Tracy? You can get phone calls on your watch?
I can. And I don't really like it, but I haven't figured out how to turn it off.
Attention all units.
Yeah, I can turn off the ringer on my phone. It is. Pick up my shoe. So we did a virtual event last year. It was, mm-hmm. Really well produced. We put tons of time and effort into it. And then all of a sudden this year we were at the same point. Like, oh, we have to do a virtual event. And
again.
But we didn't have the same kind of fire for it. It was like I was like struggling. One of my key staff members, one of my swans, we call ourselves swans, had COVID, had long COVID all year, and then got the Delta variant. So she was very sick at the time. We were like, we have to decide what we're doing. Nothing felt quite right. And so I thought about just creating songs, having artists sing a song and just putting them out into the community, serenade the entire community, but not have an event. And I was talking to Amy Lucan from Tito's. She's Tito's joyologist and runs all of the philanthropy, has built that philanthropy that's incredible.
Right.
And we were talking, and she said, I really want to, Tito's has been wanting to do something to support the healthcare community, who are in such a state of stress and overwhelm and just, you know, incredible what they've been dealing with. And she wanted to figure out an emo-, they were supporting them with food, but they wanted to figure out something emotional. And so we, she goes, what if we serenaded the healthcare community? And so we, all of a sudden it was like, yes, this is what we should do with our event planning energy. It's still a fundraiser for Swan Songs, but our putting all of our heart and soul into planning an event turned into asking artists to do serenades, record one song, and a message of support for healthcare. And then we had to build the website and the facility and, you know, just get it all set up. So each week we've been releasing, you know, four or five, probably this week's going to be more songs, and healthcare workers can just log in at any time and just go to our website and see these songs and listen to songs when they need a moment of inspiration or respite.
And everybody else can go too.
And everybody else can. At first we were going to make it private, like you have to have a special code. And then we thought, well, that's weird to keep them, you know, isolated. We wanted it to feel special. But I think it would feel more, we decided it would feel more special if everyone got to hear the support and know and, you know, send their energy their way.
And again, all of these songs that have been released so far are on swansongs.org.
Mm-hmm.
And it culminates on the 17th of this month, Sunday the 17th. You're going to put together some of it into one?
Into one broad online broadcast, yeah. So we did end up doing a virtual event, but it's a little bit different. We're keeping it a little more simple and putting together, you know, we're going to choose, we have so many of these videos, but we have to figure out which ones we're going to feature and make sure the balance of genres and what makes sense, the dynamics. But there's some really awesome ones that I'm sure will be on there. We got one from Shiny Ribs yesterday that just blew me away. It was so full of spirit, you know. He's always like really creative in his approach, of course. So we're going to, you know, show a bunch of the serenades, and Judy Maggio and I are going to be hosting it together. We're going to be hosting it at the Love Tito's retail location.
Oh, the store, yeah,
the
downtown.
Store. Uh-huh. We just figured Tito's, this became a collaboration with Tito's, so that they usually sponsor us, and they sponsored us and targeted those funds for the production of this, of all this music, the event.
They're big supporters of Sun Radio as well.
Yeah.
Tito's and Lori and Tito listen too, which is nice.
Right.
You know, donations are always great, but when somebody like that is also listening
and saying that they're listening. Yeah, they've been amazing with Swan Songs for sure for years. And
so this is a very good time of the year to visit the website, swansongs.org, see these live performances, find out what they do, donate or ask for help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
and
really.
Have you had a lot of people dying from COVID that you have been singing songs for?
Some, not as many, because there's something about COVID that by the time they get to that point,
they're not able to.
Their family can't be with them and facilitate it.
Oh, my God.
The medical community. We just happened, when I sang for Denise, who was in ICU, one of her nurses happened to be a Swan Songs volunteer. So she knew about the connection, and she knew how important music was, and she made that happen. But it's hard to, they're also stressed to say, could you have a phone at a certain time? You know, I had another fan who became a friend who used to come to Mystery Monday every week, and he became very ill. He had cancer, and he thought he was going to be fine, and all of a sudden he had like you have 24 to 36 hours, and it was during the ice storm. So I happened to have power because we were actually live very close to the hospital where he was. And I ran downstairs and got on Zoom. And we gathered some of his regular friends from Mystery Monday. And I sang to him on Zoom. And he died the next day. Mm. So we had a lot of isolated people during COVID, not necessarily getting Swan Songs virtual concerts, not really dying of COVID because of what I said, but being very isolated because of it.
Yeah.
And family members jumping on a Zoom because they couldn't be in the room, or only one person could be in the room. John D. Graham did a concert for one woman that he was close with. Her friend went to the hospital room, and John and his son were on Zoom
Well, you do good work.
Thank you.
And you've been doing it for a long time, coming up on 30th anniversary next year?
Honestly, yeah, since the idea was,
since you first started doing it.
Yeah, and then the official nonprofit when I really had to get serious and, you know, cross my T's was 2005. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, next year it will be 30 years since Denise and John asked me to come over to their house.
I think that's a very good reason to have a celebration.
Yeah, that is. I hadn't even thought about that.
Well, you know.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Ideas come from all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Christine, thank you for your time. Thank you for what you do.
Yeah, thank you.
I think you've probably helped thousands and thousands of families over the years, and they have something to hold on to.
Yeah.
Remember that time when that great musician came over and sang for mom or sang for dad?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It really does. It adds a bit of positivity at a time that's so difficult. It's a little lift during that time.
Again, swansongs.org. This has been the Sun Radio Regional Report. Kevin Connor here. Love to hear from you. Studio@sunradio.com. Thank you, Christine.
Thank you, Kevin, so much.